You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Speaker out there on this St. Patrick's Day 2021. Will not go down as one of the greatest weather St. Paddy's Days of all time. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Welcome, Ben. And hello, everyone. St. Patrick's Day, I don't know. I don't recall partaking a whole lot. I always seem to be working on St. Patrick's Day. And then I think about the food. I saw our friend Todd Brommelkamp posting about corned beef and cabbage today. And I don't know about you, Scott. I'm not a big fan, but I do like a good Reuben. Does that make sense?
I'm right with you. I am in the same boat. Love Reubens. Not a big corned beef and cabbage fan. I'm just going to say that. Right out of the chute here today. I am not Irish as well.
Nor am I.
But I do enjoy, a good St. Patrick's Day. And it's a St. Patrick's Day that coincides with Bowling Night in America. I don't know what that means. I'm just throwing it out there.
How many Bruiners are in the lineup and taking the day off?
Two in the lineup. Don't know about days off today.
Okay.
We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. We'll talk to Mark Ironside coming up as well here in just a little bit as the National Wrestling Tournament Division One about to get underway tomorrow in St. Louis, tomorrow night with the pigtail matches, getting into things in earnest on Friday, through the day Friday, through Saturday, and into the championship round coming up on Saturday evening, about the same time that the Iowa men's basketball team will be getting underway in their game against Grand Canyon over at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. I know we talked to Mike yesterday, and he previewed the article that he penned. You don't pen articles anymore, do you? You type articles.
No.
The article that he typed about the history, the colorful history of the Indiana Memorial Coliseum, and that's where Iowa will be playing against Grand Canyon coming up on Saturday evening. And I got to admit, I enjoyed that piece, and it caused me to look into more of the history as far as that building. I know it's been around a long, long, long time on that particular grounds, and I knew it was a WPA project back in the day of President Roosevelt or Roosevelt, whichever one you prefer. And like I said, I'm going to have to dig into that a little bit more.
Yeah, Mike had a really good story, which he previewed on our show yesterday, and it's got a rich 8-decade-old history of various things. Hopefully you'll pick up a copy of the paper or read it online. It's a good read, and I'm anxious to get a look at it on television come Saturday night. Is that it? Yeah.
Saturday night. Saturday evening, night, whatever you prefer. 319-366-1600. As we mentioned, the text line is up and running and available after being not our fault, down yesterday for most of the day. And again, yes, the bracket challenge from I'm On Communications, presented by I'm On Communications. You got your shot to win $500 in predicting having the best bracket for March Madness. Of course, you can catch March Madness starting on Thursday, tomorrow, right here on KGYM. On all our frequencies starting at 5 o'clock. Todd and Alex will go from 4 until 5. We'll be on from 3 until 4. And all kind. We'll let you know who our picks are going to be coming up tomorrow as far as the national champion, et cetera, is concerned. Go to KGYMradio.com to join up with the KGYM Bracket Challenge group. The instructions are listed right there. Your brackets will be accepted all throughout the week, up through 11 a.m. on Friday. 11 a.m. on Friday. And it's a winner-take-all, $500, courtesy of I'm On Communications and all of us here at KGYM as far as the top bracket is concerned. Are you ready to go? Have you filled out your bracket, Mark?
I did. I completed my bracket before we went on the air. And
don't say who's the winner.
I'm not going to, but it just... I do it very rapidly, Scott. I don't know about you. I don't put a ton of research into it. A lot of it's on feel. Of course, knowledge, the limited knowledge I have on some teams. But I just go through line by line, fill them in, and go. It doesn't take very long.
No. I think about it probably way too much as far as certain matchups are concerned. And some of them you just kind of pencil through or pen through or Sharpie through if you're, you know, Seth Davis. But at any rate, you move through there. Ben, you got a bracket? You got a bracket, Ben? No, Ben doesn't do brackets. Probably a smart individual. No stress on you, Ben. So, all right. Thank you. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Mark Ironside coming up here in just a moment. Nothing official as of yet, Mark, but there are definitely many sources, both in Las Vegas mainly, a few here in Central Iowa, that are all in agreement of the fact that T.J. Otzelberger is going to be named the next Iowa State coach at any time. T.J., formerly with the Iowa State staff for many years, terrific recruiter, has been to a couple of different places as a head coach, including the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and the UNLV Running Rebels of the Mountain West. A pedestrian record, if you will, as far as the Mountain West is concerned. But he has ties to Iowa State. He has ties to the Midwest. And above all, this man is probably one of the 10 best recruiters in college basketball. And I think that is, if all this is true, I think that is probably what put him over the top as far as Iowa State AD Jamie Pollard is concerned.
Yeah, I think that last point you made as far as recruiting is probably the biggest reason that he apparently is headed to Iowa State. And I have mixed feelings about it. Number one, I think it was a sort of a comfortable hire for Jamie Pollard. You talk about the proverbial reaching in the drawer and looking at your list. He didn't have to reach very far. I think Otzelberger has been on his mind for some time. And the first question I ask, and it won't be answered for a while, is he better than Steve Prohm? Is it, you know, an upgrade from Steve Prohm? Based on the last 2 years, he's got it. Otzelberger has to be, because the last 2 years were awful for Iowa State. But again, that won't be answered for a few years anyway, I think. And number two, is Otzelberger ready for the big stage, a much bigger stage than South Dakota State and UNLV? Those things remain to be seen as well, but underscore that this is not official. It's just widely presumed that he will be the next Iowa State basketball coach.
This is not a nationwide breaking news sexy pick. Can we agree on that? I mean, Iowa State fans, I think, if it is indeed T.J. Otzelberger, I think they are very satisfied. Most of them, anyway. There are a few pockets of Cyclone Nation that are asking some questions. But I think it's going to be a very popular decision, if indeed it is T.J. Otzelberger. I am with you. Is this an upgrade from where Steve Prohm was? You take a look. Steve Prohm had a terrific resume coming from Murray. Where he was at. Not a Midwest guy, but a guy with plenty of good vibes from his fellow coaches around the country. And that's why Steve Prohm's not going to be out of a job very long, maybe a year at the most, and he's going to be back as far as college basketball is concerned. You put that on the bottom line in the middle of the NCAA tournament, Iowa State hires T.J. Otzelberger from UNLV. People are going to go, okay, probably the case. It's going to take 2 or 3 years. I agree with you, Mark, to see how this is going to play out and if he is ready for the big stage. One thing's for sure, he is going to need some really good assistants to help him out. It's a situation a lot like Fred Hoiberg walked into when he jumped into the coaching reins at Iowa State. Juwan Howard, what he did, getting Martelli, the former coach at St. Joe's, to help him out. maybe not quite in need of someone of that ilk right away for TJ Otzelberger, but this is going to be a big step. And no offense to the Mountain West, but you're not going up against the likes of the Air Forces and people like that. You got 7 or 8 really top-notch, solid programs in the Big 12. Did I say Big 8 earlier? If I did, I apologize. In the Big 12.
Easy thing to do, yeah.
And so that remains to be seen, X's and O's wise, if he can match wits with the Bill Selfs, with the Bob Huggins, with the Krugers, and people like that. That's what's going to remain to be seen.
Yeah, I'm just not ready to pass judgment on it. All I'll say is that it was not a wowser hire, and it doesn't really have to be. I don't think Matt Campbell was a wowser hire originally when Pollard brought him in to coach the football team, but it's turned out to be terrific. And I know Pollard and Iowa State fans are hopeful that Otzelberger can do many of the same things that Matt Campbell has done. You know, whether it's him or anybody else, you don't know until a few years down the road, obviously. But curious what you think out there, their text line, but also our poll question at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They sponsor Cyclone-related poll questions as well, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team. Did Jamie Pollard, parentheses, reportedly, get the right guy for the job in TJ Otzelberger? Simple yes or no. Go ahead and vote. KGYMRadio.com.
It's an intriguing question. 9049 on the text line. Thank you very much for reaching out to us. Do appreciate it. Thought the Coach Prohm situation was handled with class. It's never easy. No, it's not. It's never easy. And no animosity, obviously, at least publicly and from what we hear between Steve Prohm, Jamie Pollard, Iowa State, et cetera, et cetera. I thought it was handled very, very cleanly and very, very well. Also, 9049 responding, very cool that we can get to watch so much of the wrestling tournament. That is true. We're going to get to see a ton of NCAA wrestling coming up in the next 3 days. 27-23. Iowa State's not going to have to cheat quickly. Do we think 2030 asks, Mark, do you think Iowa can beat Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament? First of all, they both have to get to the Elite Eight. I would give Iowa a 10 to 15% shot at beating Gonzaga.
I think sure Iowa can, but I don't expect it to. I just think this is a extremely special Gonzaga team and a lot of pressure, not only to win it, but finish undefeated, something that, as most people know, has not happened since the mid-1970s with Indiana. That's a very tough thing to do, but I think to answer the question, unlikely.
Yeah, it is tough. There have been, I saw a graphic on during conference championship week. I think there have been 5 teams since the 76 Hoosiers that have gone into the NCAA tournament unbeaten. No one has won.
UNLV in that position?
Yes.
1 year?
Yep. Yeah. UNLV was one of those teams in that position. Made it to the championship game before they were beaten pretty soundly by, I believe, Duke. At that time, but I'd have to double check as far as my history is concerned. 22 past the hour of 3. We're about 5 minutes away from talking with Mark Ironside here. Women's basketball news today. Congratulations. Caitlin Clark named second team All-American as far as women's college basketball is concerned. What kept her off the first team? I don't know. Leading the country as far as scoring is concerned. Probably due to the fact that she is a freshman. They gave some upperclassmen a little bit of a benefit of the doubt. That's fine, whatever the case may be. Pretty darn good feather in your cap to have a freshman year where you finish up a second team All-American.
Yeah, I mean, the second team All-America is nothing to sneeze at, but you think about Caitlin Clark leading the nation in four different categories. Whether she's a freshman or a senior, you can't deny that. Five, obviously, very good players on the first team, including UConn freshman Paige Buechers, who I think is Clark's main rival for freshman of the year in any awards that might be given in that regard. But that's a pretty strong resume to be second team All-America.
Back to Iowa State here on the text line at 7227. These are extraordinary times. The players get an extra year of eligibility if they wish. I think Iowa State may regret letting Prohm get away. I don't blame him for the poor record in these times. The Cyclones are competitive. I think all they are is one or two players from challenging for a Big 12 title. I'm a Hawk fan, and I think the Clones are making a mistake in capital letters. That's from an Iowa fan. 72-27. So he would vote no then.
Interesting.
On the poll question out there. Like you said, we're not going to know for a few years. This is not going to be a quick fix. I don't know. Even if it's T.J. Otzelberger, he's been known to get the freshman kids, not so much the transfers coming in. That was more of a Fred Hoiberg thing. TJ helped out, obviously, but TJ was very good at getting in the living rooms or a Zoom meeting in the living room in 2021, at least for now, as far as potential recruits are concerned. And I think it's probably, if it is TJ Otzelberger, is going to mean it's going to be more on a national landscape instead of a Iowa and Midwest-based landscape. And I know Cyclone fans have been grumbling about the fact that basically there have been, other than Xavier Foster over the last decade, very few efforts to go after the top talented players in the state of Iowa. Not saying they have to. That's not my point. But there have been a lot of pretty good players coming down the line that have stayed in the state of Iowa and gone out of the state of Iowa. And seemingly Iowa State has not made a big push to a lot of those folks.
Seemingly so, and that's a good point, and it's been made before and underscored again today. Listen, any coach, whether it's Otzelberger or anyone, would be foolish not to take advantage of the transfer portal as well. I mean, you've got a half a dozen Penn State players already jumping ship, and Jamal Mashburn Jr., Minnesota, he's leaving that program, and I'm sure there's dozens of others. You don't have to look too far to get a decent nucleus for a couple of years. But then again, you have to solidify the foundation with those high school players.
You do. And it's, and we've said it before, you may not be winning, but at least if you're doing it with some local guys, it's maybe, it's still looked down upon, but it's at least these guys. If you got a roster full of guys you have no idea who they are, where they came from, then they're still going 0-18. Then it's an entirely different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk a little bit more about basketball, and we're going to talk a little bit about Mark's Chicago Bears, too. Made a big move yesterday. Could have made an even bigger move, but did not do that. So we shall see how that all plays out, but it could be a new quarterback under center for the Bears coming up in the fall of 2021. We're going to take a break, come back. Mark Ironside will join us on his way to St. Louis, and we're going to preview the National Wrestling Championships when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class at 326 right here on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's Community MVP,
recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Join the Amana Colonies for Dumpling Day, March 20th. Plan your visit to enjoy an array of delicious dumpling dishes, unique drinks, lots of shopping choices, and plenty of activities for your whole family.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Your farm is your home and your business. For nearly 100 years, Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving families like yours in our community. Has farming changed? It sure has. And we've kept up with all of it. We understand the complexities and challenges because we talk with people who do what you do every day. At Fairfax State Savings Bank, we don't just offer agribusiness loans. We know them inside and out. Find out more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank. Grow with us. Member FDIC.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
3:29, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM, the Wednesday edition. Coming up tomorrow, the coach, Kevin Lehman, will join us, and we will talk NCAA tournament basketball as the tournament gets underway. Bracket challenge available to you from IMON Communications. You need to get into that by Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning. KGYMradio.com is the place to check that out. We're going to talk to Mark Ironside here, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. We're going to talk to Mark Ironside here in a couple minutes. We called him when he was checking into his hotel.
Fair enough.
He's calling back here in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
After he is done checking in. I assume then he's already gone through all the testing and whatnot, you know, because he's going to have to go through that, getting into the arena, et cetera,
sure.
Et cetera.
Sure.
And so hang tight, everybody. We got like 3 minutes, and then we'll get to talk to Mark, unless they lost his reservation or something like that. And then, you know, heaven help that poor clerk. If that is the case. As Iowa will get ready to go for title number 24, as far as the NCAA wrestling championships are concerned, they will have a full squad there. All 10 of the Hawkeye wrestlers are in St. Louis and eligible to win if they can get through the bracket an NCAA championship.
Yeah, very much looking forward to talking to Mark, and I know listeners are looking forward to listening to him. Of course, everybody's got to be tested and whatnot. On the basketball side, we've learned today all 68 teams are good to go. There will be no replacement teams, and that's a pretty good first step.
At least for now, everybody's ready. And everybody's in Indianapolis or the area, the bubble, whatever you want to call it. It's not really a bubble because it's different places, et cetera, et cetera. But it is what it is. Call it what you will. That is not necessarily the case. We mentioned yesterday the officials, including a couple of top guys, Ted Valentine and John Higgins, will not be refereeing the NCAA tournament this year. Their season is done. So a lot of good officials out there, though. So NCAA will get through that.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that pops up, and that's unfortunate for those officials, but the show will go on.
Indeed, indeed. While we have a moment, Mark, your Chicago Bears yesterday signing the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, to a deal to bring him in. Three quarterbacks right now in Hallis Hall. That's not going to be the case, though. Foles or Trubisky, they are going to be departing. probably sooner than later. You, as a Bear fan, and I agreed with you, were very happy that the Bears did not back up the Brinks truck to Hallis Hall to send to Seattle for Russell Wilson yesterday.
Well, it would have been wonderful to have Russell Wilson at Soldier Field. It would be stupid not to think that, but to give up three first-round picks, a third-rounder, and two starters, one of them rumored to be Khalil Mack, no, I don't want to do that. I think Andy Dalton is an upgrade from Mitch Trubisky, who, by the way, will be gone. But it's not a over-the-top hire by any means. He's not Aaron Rodgers. But I will say he's passed for damn near 34,000 yards in the NFL and has a really good touchdown-to-interception ratio. He played with an awful, awful team for the most part in Cincinnati. Maybe this is positioning to do something more, but I did not want to make a deal like Minnesota did with Dallas for Herschel Walker. The Vikings were going to go to the Super Bowl with Herschel Walker, but gave up eight draft picks and four starters, and one of those draft picks was Emmett Smith for Dallas. So, no, I didn't want them to give up the farm for one guy.
No, I agree with you. I would agree with you. By the way, one of the guys Andy Dalton threw to in Cincinnati, A.J. Green, moving on, signing with the Arizona Cardinals.
Hmm.
Interestingly enough, I think they're still treading those tires for A.J. Green. Coming off missed one season completely, and coming off a bevy of injuries. If he can stay healthy, A.J. Green is going to help the Arizona Cardinals.
You sure will.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. 3:34, awaiting Mark Ironside's call from St. Louis as he is when he is done checking in to his hotel down in St. Louis as the National Wrestling Championship's going to get underway tomorrow at the Enterprise Center, home of the St. Louis Blues. I had to throw that in there. And all kinds of coverage coming up. Couple questions coming in from Mark. We will get his take on those here in just a little bit. Caitlin Clark named a second-team All-American today on the women's basketball side. By the way, Luca Garza got another first-team All-American. I believe the basketball writers today, Mark. So that is the third of the four groups that would make Luca Garza a consensus All-American.
Yes, yes, indeed. He's on the doorstep of that. And just to tick off Iowa fans, Scott, USA Today named Ayo Dosunmu its player of the year.
Yeah, well, he's good.
Yep.
Whatever it is. That's not the Wooden Award. That's not the Oscar Robertson Award, whatever the case may be. It's what USA Today believes. And I don't know if it's their own entity, if they have a panelist or a panel of judges that come up with that. Who knows? But, yeah. Hey, the Sumo's good. You can't go wrong with that either. I personally would give it to Luca Garza, but, hey, that's the way it goes sometimes.
This just in from Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman, retweeted by Todd Brommelkamp. OU coach Lon Kruger reported that Davion Harmon has reportedly tested positive and won't be available for at least two games in the NCAA tournament.
Mm. I believe Oklahoma and Mizzou play in the first round.
Yes, that's an 8-9 game, I think.
Yes, it is. And Oklahoma has not exactly been playing great basketball down the stretch here. So come up with your own conclusions as far as that is concerned. 319-366-1600 at 3:36. And I think we got Mark ready to go from down in St. Louis after checking in to the hotel and all that rigmarole. Are you in, Mark? Did they get you a room?
They got me a room. Yep, I'm in.
Good. Good.
So I brought a couple of the girls with me. I thought maybe I'd have two double bed, but it's one king, so we're snuggling up.
Very good. Very good.
You mean your girls, right, Mark?
Yeah, my girl. Yes, correct, Mark. Thank you.
Yes. Let's clarify. That brought a smile to Ben's face on the other side of the glass over there. All right. Well, here we are. Just about ready to go for the Hawks to try to win title number 24. You've been talking with people on the inside. What are the thoughts on the eve of the tournament for this Iowa wrestling team?
You know, I think that it's just pretty much at this point in time, we just got to go out and do our job. You know, it's just kind of cliche to say, but, you know, go out, do your job, and take care of business and, you know, wrestle to your seed and then some, if need be, score bonus points when you should be able to score bonus points, which honestly should probably be all 10 guys the first round, and the rest will take care of itself. The team race will take care of itself. So I think for us to, you know, not win this tournament from a team perspective, we would have to really, really kind of stub our toe along the way, and another team would really have to have an amazing, amazing tournament. So, you know, but with that being said, we don't want to look at it that way. You want to go out, take care of business, and kick some tail, score a lot of points, and then run away with this sucker like we did the Big Tens.
Mark, a lot of listener questions. I'm going to give them an opportunity on my Facebook feed. Our mutual friend Riley has a long question. I'm going to paraphrase it. It's in regard to seeding and how different it may be this year, with maybe guys not having a whole lot of matches in, and maybe some unusual seeds making it further in the tournament than usual. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's some kind of weird stuff going on with the seeds this year. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you just go out, you wrestle the matches. But there's some stuff out there that I think, you know, Tony Cassiope is the first one that comes to mind, you know, fifth seed. And I know there's a couple guys that are seeded in front of him that are undefeated, but who have they wrestled, you know? I mean, Tony Cassiope only has two losses on the year, and they're the number one and number two ranked guys in the country, and all the other matches are bonus point wins. I mean, the guy's pretty much unstoppable, but besides those top two guys. But it is what it is. You know, they're just seeds. You know, every year you come into this tournament and you see upsets, and I think you're going to see obviously way more upsets this year, and they're not really even, you know, in my opinion, upsets, you know, just because nobody's wrestled anybody really outside of their conference. So it's really difficult to get a good read on, you know, who's the legit, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh ranked, you know, type of guy in the country, or, you know, for that matter, all the way up to 33. So, yeah, they're kind of cattywampus this year. And, but at the same time, you know, it's just paper, and, you know, it'll all shake itself out, you know, at least in the medal match round. Unfortunately, some guys might not be in the finals like they probably should be in a couple situations, but, regardless, you know, the medal match rounds will everything, the cream rises to the top.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's go to David and Hudson. Very intriguing question here, Mark, and that is, I think he's taking into consideration that Iowa wins a national championship as a team. He asks, how many national champions does Iowa need to consider this a very successful year?
You know, I mean, we got four number ones, you know, seeds. It'd be nice to have four champs, you know, but, you know, look at a guy like Alex Marinelli. He's got a tough road to hoe. He's got some studs in there on his side, on that top side, and he's been ranked, you know, number one twice before and hasn't won it. And, you know, that's not taking anything away from him. He's had some, that 165-pound weight class has just been a stud of a weight class, weight class there. So anything can happen, you know. I mean, we might lose a number one, like, you know, someone, you know, doesn't win it or whatever, but then someone else might come along and win it. You know, you can't count out a guy like Austin DeSanto. You can't count out a guy like Jacob Warner, who's right there with these guys. I mean, 197 is wide open. You know, I like this guy's, you know, thinking, who asked a question, and the fact that, you know, we don't want to just win the team race and have one champ. You know, we want to win the team race and have four champs and feel really good about leaving here and leaving St. Louis and with a lot of hardware and not barely scraping by and win the team title. I mean, you want to come down here and, you know, and make up for some lost time and score as many points as you can.
Mark, 1207 on the text line has a couple questions. Number one, and this is going to be one of mine, This has to do with Murin and Brands. The question from him is it a mental thing or preparation? They seem to like they can wrestle and beat anybody when they're on, but seem to take some real bad losses. Do you think they figure it out this week to make the podium?
You know, time will tell, and that goes for anybody. You know, I think that Nelson Brands proved at the Big Ten that when he comes out and he puts points on the scoreboard and he comes out and he scores in the first period, tries scoring in the first period, that, you know, he can contend with anybody. He's right there with everybody. But if you're going to come out and, you know, kind of like Murin did against Van Brill, you know, in the first period of that match, and he let it come down at the very end and is just kind of the last person to score, you know, wins the match, it's anybody's ball game. And you can't wrestle like that. You can't have that mentality when you step on the mat. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a mind reader. Unfortunately, I'm not around these guys like I normally am, just because of all the COVID protocols and so forth. So I'm just like any of you guys right now. I hope that when they come out of the mat, they come out with a lot of fury, a lot of fire, and wrestle smart but yet aggressive and really get on the offensive holds and attacks. And so what if you give up a takedown here or there, as long as you continue to keep wrestling and you wrestle every second like it's last in the 7-minute match. And then some, if need be, these guys are going to come out on top. But, you know, when you get to a national tournament sometimes at this high of a level, especially maybe for someone like Nelson who hasn't been here yet, you know, it's, you know, have people have the tendency to wrestle kind of tight, and we can't have that, and those guys can't have that, you know. So if it's going to come down to one, at, you know, 1 point score win at the end type of thing, you know, it's anybody's ball game. So we just need to come out. We need to come out firing. As far as mentality goes, these guys have great mentalities. Mirren's got an awesome mentality, and so does Nelson. But they just need to come out and let the fur fly, as I say.
Yeah. Mark Ironside joining us from St. Louis as the national championships get started tomorrow at Enterprise Center for NCAA Division I wrestling. A lot of eyes going to be on Spencer Lee. A lot of things he can do. If he wins, he'd be the 7th three-time NCAA champion in Iowa history, perhaps on his way to 4, but that's putting the cart ahead of the horse. Let's try to win number 3 first. And all eyes are going to be on Spencer. There's no doubt about that. He's going to have a big target on his back, but knowing Spencer Lee, he likes to have a big target on his back and welcomes it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to come out and look for Spencer Lee. I think, you know, he's, you know, one of the top guys in the tournament, of course, you know, that people just, you know, want to watch wrestle. He's exciting. He's fun. He puts a lot of points on the scoreboard, and he can score from pretty much any position. You know, I think it's, you know, pretty much him and his weight class alone, and then the rest of the weight class is just going to kind of fight it out second through eighth. You know, after Spencer, really, you look at that whole weight class and it's like, I don't even have a clue who's going to finish second through eighth. I mean, it's just a crapshoot. So Spencer's kind of in a league of zone, as everybody knows. But at the same time, the great thing about Spencer Lee is he doesn't look at it like that. He looks at, you know, one match at a time. He looks at one tournament at a time. I know that, you know, he does look down the road like his Olympic trials and so forth, but right now it's all business here in St. Louis, you know, trying to compete not just for a national championship, but also another Dan Hodge Award and being the most dominant wrestler in the, you know, in the country. And, you know, that's something that he takes great pride in and has a heck of a lot of fun doing.
Second part of 1207's question, Mark, wants to know what you would have done if someone wrestled with one arm behind their back like RBY did against DeSanto.
If he wrestled with his left arm behind his back and his right arm was out front, I would hang on that right arm of his and two-on-one the living heck out of that right arm until it basically ripped it out of his socket. That's the problem I think that we have there. We need to close that distance. We need to close that gap. We need to get our hands on him and RBY, and you got to make him put so much pressure on him and so much physical pressure, push and pull and heavy, circling him with that arm that it forces him to have to, you know, wrestle with both hands. Otherwise, he's going to be so off balance, his nose is going to become, you know, bruised and part of the mat. And unfortunately, that's something, you know, DeSanto really hasn't done a lot of. He kind of allows RBY to wrestle RBY style. He kind of stays away from a non-tie and so forth and plays RBY's game. But if, you know, Austin would, you know, come across and really, really start attacking RBY's right arm like he attacks everybody's left arm, then, you know, then he can't play that game. So I think that would be a big difference maker, you know, for a guy like DeSano against RBY.
You mentioned Marinelli got a tough road, no doubt about that. A couple other guys that I think really need to step up, wrestle above the seeds. You mentioned Jacob Warner. Kemmerer, you know, he comes in at number one. Can he get to Saturday night? We'll see. And then the one is Jaden Ironman, his first national championship as a Hawkeye, and we'll see if he comes back next year. Worry about that next year. But what he can do and the points that he can put up, I think, are going to be big as far as Iowa winning the team title.
For sure, I think that, you know, Jaden Ironman, I think he is a huge addition to this team. He's one of the best, you know, leaders that we have on this team, both on and off the mat. And he can put up a lot of points. He can put up a lot of extra points, you know, in the bonus point column for us. And that's huge. It's huge not only from the team perspective and the team race, but it's also huge for the morale of the team. And it's very contagious. You know, I mean, back in the day in 97 when we wrestled at the Unidome, we set the record that year for the most points ever scored, you know, by a national championship team. You know, it was Casey Gillis that got us started off. He pinned Malinano of Iowa State, and that just erupted the crowd, which erupted the team, and everybody just started following suit. And, you know, we won 24 matches straight after that. So it's just something to where, you know, when you get guys on the team that go after bonus points, that go after pins and stuff, it's very, very contagious. It looks great on the scoreboard in the team race, but it's also very contagious, and it allows the rest of the team to, you know, go out and get after it and, you know, and try and follow suit.
Mark, is Carr from Iowa State your pick at 157 or not?
No, I don't have a pick, honestly, at 157. That weight class is so up in the air. Honestly, if I had to pick one person, I'd probably say Deacon. With Carr making the finals against Deacon. But again, with the lack of wrestling this year, it's hard to say for sure. I mean, Hidley's tough in there as well, too. It's just so unknown right there. I mean, those are three studs that any three of them could win that tournament at 157 pounds.
Mark, going in, I know 10 for 10 would be perfect and would be great. Tom Brands is looking for that, always is. But realistically, what are your impressions? What are your predictions for this national tournament? How many champs can Iowa get? And do they win it? And if they win it, by how much?
For sure, I think that we win as a team. There's no doubt. I think we win by probably, I'd say probably 40 points, you know. And that's me being a Hawkeye, being optimistic and just knowing what we're capable of doing, knowing, just seeing how these guys wrestle this year and how, you know, offensive they are and how much fun they're having, how much, you know, which has kind of, you know, been hurting them since last year, since they canceled the tournament. And the whole thing this year is, you know, unfinished business coming out and, you know, kicking some butt and taking some names. And I think that they'll be very dominant. I think that we're going to bring home a lot of hardware. I mean, there's a possibility we could bring home 10 All-Americans. We really, really could. And that's something that, you know, even Coach Gable was never able to do, was bring home 10 All-Americans. And that would be huge for this program. As far as the amount of champs goes, you know, we could have anywhere from as little as, I think, 2 to probably, you know, the most we could have is 5. So, you know, somewhere in that vicinity.
Mark, I don't know if you caught any of it, but the Division III Championships was wildly successful in Coralville.
Yeah,
Dick Simmons at the helm there. And, you know, that was great that those kids had an opportunity. And hats off to Kyle Briggs and Josh Gerke from around here, and Anderson from North Lynn. That was good to see.
Yeah, those guys, it was a great, great opportunity. Huge shout-out to Dick, you know, Simmons over there at Cornell. Just an amazing guy. Does so much for that D3 Nationals every single year. So much timeless, just, you know, effort that he puts in to making something like that happen. So many volunteers. I mean, it takes a village to make something like that happen, but it takes, you know, someone kind of the head of the throne to be able to do something like that, and that's Dick. And I tell you what, it was so awesome for those guys to have that opportunity. You know, a lot of those guys found some closure And it was really good for him, and it's just a great opportunity. And I was really excited to see Kyle Briggs, you know, in the finals and dominate his way through the tournament. And Coach O at Co had a great tournament. You know, Co did three finalists, two champs, Henderson's, and both brothers in the finals. I mean, that was just awesome. It's just a great way to kind of close out the D3 season when things looked so gloom and glim for a little while there after, you know, they canceled it, and 2 years in a row now. So just, you know, huge thanks to Josh Schamberger of Iowa City Core Conventions Bureau making that arena work and having that arena there for him. And it was just well received by everybody. And it was really, really awesome to see.
Yeah. Cedar Rapids next year, the host. So get out and see it. That'll be a lot of fun. 57-86, finally, with one tongue-in-cheek here. I know it's probably not going to happen, but he really hopes somebody could catch Gable Stevenson off balance and pin him. I don't think it's going to happen.
The only thing, I don't know about catching him off balance, the only thing that he could possibly catch and knock him out of the tournament would be COVID at this point in time. the guy is just, he's just so good. He's just so good. And I know I hear people complain all of the time about his antics and his celebrating and, you know, kind of his arrogance and so forth or whatever. And I agree. I'm with you. I mean, I don't, that's not who I am or what I'm about. And I don't condone it, that's for sure. But at the same time, there isn't a whole heck of a lot you can do about it or say about it until someone, you know, kind of knocks him off of his throne. And Tony Cacioppo, is hopefully going to be able to do that come the semifinals. And he's got a big gap there to close. And hopefully it just at least comes out and he wrestles 7 minutes and makes it the best match that he possibly can. So we'll see what happens. But after watching him, I thought Paris would be a lot closer to him than what he showed in the Big Ten finals. But after that Big Ten finals, it kind of pretty much solidified that Gable Stevenson is just kind of up on a mountain of his own at the heavyweight right now. And those are some great other heavyweights too, with Paris and Cacioppo and Stenzel and Gannon Gremmel from Iowa State even. And I mean, there's some good heavyweights out there. Just Gable Stevenson, you're not just going to see him at the top of the food chain right now at the collegiate level, but, you know, also as the world team as well, too, you know, trying to make the Olympic team this year, right after the D1s are over, just like Spencer.
Very true. Very true. Well, I don't know what you all get to do in St. Louis, but if you get to, maybe you get to just sit in the hotel room and have quality time with the daughters. I don't know until you go to the arena. So I don't know.
All I know is I'm not getting middle. I'm getting one of the ends. It's Hannah says I'm getting the floor.
my money's on floor. That's what I got.
You're not going to sleep anyway, Mark. So
I will sleep hard, Mark. There's going to be some long days. The way they're spreading this tournament out this year, there's going to be a lot of time on the radio and a lot of days. And to kind of keep Steven and I going, we came up with a workout routine a couple years ago that we do during the national championships every year. For major decision, we do, you know, X amount of jumping jacks, and for tech falls, we do X amount of burpees, and then for falls, we do X amount of squat jumps, and it just kind of keeps us going and keeps us awake up there and stuff and keeps us in shape and keeps our blood flowing. They're long, long days. You get back, and even though you're sitting on your tail all day, you're pretty exhausted. I'm ready to hit the pillow and get up early the next morning and do it all over again and kind of rinse and repeat. So I'll sleep fine. You don't worry about that.
All right. Hey, have fun.
I'm glad I'm UNASA's co-host and not yours.
Yeah, Steven's thinking the same thing.
Hey, have fun, Mark, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, Mark Ironside joining us from St. Louis as the national championships getting underway as far as the Division I National Wrestling Championships. Quick break. Well, let's do this. Let's just go ahead and get ready for Bowling Night in America preview. Mark, it's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, the season winding down. I think only about a month left. Correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but the opponent tonight is a tough one, Viking, and we'll see what we can do. We're in Rusty Nails in fifth place in the Adult Evergreen League and with a chance to move up. Let's give it a whirl tonight.
Give it a whirl. 31 and 32. I got to talk with the schedule maker. I think we've been on 31 and 32 a lot more than other teams. I'm just throwing that out there. So, because weird things happen on the end of the bowling lanes, but we'll find out how it goes tonight. We'll have a complete wrap-up coming up tomorrow. We'll have our picks for the NCAA championships in basketball coming up tomorrow as well. Don't forget the Bracket Challenge presented by Imon Communications. Go to KGYMradio.com for more information on your chance to win $500 on that coming up here in just a couple minutes. And Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us coming up tomorrow with Off the Glass, and we'll get his thoughts about the NCAA tournament. All right, Mark, we will talk with you coming up tomorrow at 3.
Look forward to it. I'll talk to you then, Scott.
All right. We got NBA basketball coming up tonight at 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies as well, Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next on KGYM. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service